How's that right there? Is it all righty? Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Here at the Land Between the Lakes in Kentucky. And good to see everyone here. I know there may be people here that are new, and it's good for them to be here as well. And I would like to say this is me and Diane's 14th year as being baptized in this church here, the Intercontinental Church of God. And this is tomorrow will be our anniversary. And this is where we first met Mr. Ted Armstrong and Mr. James Lamb. And they go back quite a ways. And we all go back quite a ways. And tomorrow will be Pentecost. And so today the sermonette I have is going to be talking about love. Just how wonderful is it to have God's love? If we understand that is in God's church, just how wonderful that is. I think we acknowledge that. And if we go to turn to John chapter 15, verse 9, as we fast forward to the Last Supper, where God's great commandments and given again as Moses did in Deuteronomy, in verse 9, as the Father have loved me, so I have loved you. Continue you in my love. In verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things, in verse 17, these things I command you, that you have love one toward another. If we have love one toward another, there's nothing powerful than love. There's nothing that can take it from you. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve loved one another. But what come in among them? We know. Cleave unto your wife. Had a preacher to tell me, says, Claude, cleave unto your wife. Just cleave to her when you need support. Sometimes the wife is very important to the man. Says, we are, in John 17, verse 21, we are ordered by our Savior and King to get along and to love each other. This was Jesus' last prayer before all his disciples, just before he was to be killed, that they all may be one as thou art, Father, in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I believe our conviction with our Savior, that the world can see us. We're a witness. We're a living witness for Jesus Christ day by day, no matter what we are. Yesterday morning, me and my wife was in Walmart at Clarksville. I was in the men's department, and the lady, I asked her about some clothing. We talked a little. And she said, where are you going? I said, man, my wife has got a meeting, a religious meeting to attend. We talked a little bit, and she says, would you do something for me? I said, I'll try. She said, would you put my niece, 3-year-old niece, on the prayer list? She has cancer. The 7-year-old one had cancer. And the 3-year-old one had E. coli. And they're both in the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. And I said, I sure will. And I want to add that to our prayer list. As Mr. Nunnery says, Jesus, you didn't have to belong to the church for him to pray for you or to heal you. So please put these 3-year-old child and the 7-year-old child on the prayer list and pray that they come out of the hospital. Everybody has a father. Everybody has a mother. And we know that love and how that would feel. We are not just encouraged to do this. In John chapter 1, verse 1 John 4:7, that same man that Christ loved writes words for us after Jesus had died and returned to his Father, and now sits as our high priest. He's our high priest, our daily priest, that we can call on Jesus, and he intercesses for us in our prayers. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We sure will be born again one day. We'll be born as a spirit-composed being, and we won't have this body of pain sometimes that we have. We will have a new body, and we'll be really then the real new creature in Christ when we're changed from the mortal body to the spiritual-composed body. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We love Him because first He loved us. Yes, He did. He first loved us and gave His life for us. Each person He gave His life for. As a lady said, in the kingdom tomorrow, everyone in that second resurrection, they'll all come forward. And He'll say, this is the way. This is the way. Walk you in it. For now they know not the way. The word way is over 100 times in the Bible with no S's. I learned that from the old preacher man. And I think most of you know who the old preacher man is I'm referring to. We have a lot of older preacher men in God's church today. And they know who they are. And they're still doing God's work. Just because they've gotten old a little bit and things have went ahead of them with technology doesn't mean that they don't understand. Getting old is good. We have more wisdom when we get older. We're supposed to. And it's not all gloom and doom, is it? God's love for Israel was shown by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of John, Jesus wished His love to be in all His disciples. John reminds us about Christ's commandments to love one another. We are blessed with such a beautiful commandment that we should love one another as He has loved us. You know, there's no end to love. We love people after they're even dead. And we honor the commandments. Honor your father and mother. That's the commandment with the first promise of eternal life. Eternal health, I mean. That's the first commandment with blessing. The commandments are wonderful. They're not a burden. They're a blessing. I learned that quite a while back. I'm still learning. A moment, please. I'm going to be finishing up here. This is a little side deal here. We have the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not Take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witnesses. Thou shalt not covet. Now the church has got down. We all know the Sabbath day, don't we? To me, thou shalt not covet is a commandment that hurts badly. Hurts badly. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, and all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. His fear is before our faces. Just one moment. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of something hoped for, not seen. How do we exercise faith? Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Remember that the Lord Jesus said, the Comforter he sent, the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost. Be of a strong faith. Have courage. They that have no faith have no courage. You have got to have faith and courage. You have to. He told Timothy, stir up the spirit that's within you. That I know that the same was in your mother Enos and your grandmother Lois. Stir up. A person without faith has no courage. And a person without, you've got to have them both. We have to stand on courage and faith and lift ourselves up with God, with the Holy Spirit, with courage, with faith. Isn't that wonderful that He gives us that? Little children we are, and we're just all in a learning process. So, for our main sermon, I should have had that down. I could have announced them. Who is it, Mr. Robert James? Okay, sir. That's his job. Well, thank you, and hope you enjoy the rest of the day and the Pentecost.
Beautiful Kentucky Sabbath. The weather is just great. Well, as we look around in every direction, it seems like the whole world's falling apart. If you believe the Bible, and we do, and it is God's Word, and it is, that we know that the world is in trouble. And God is soon going to have to intervene, step in the affairs of mankind to save himself. If he don't, which we know he will, but if he didn't, there wouldn't be anybody left. We're proving every day, mankind is, that we're incapable of ruling ourselves without the help of God. But he has allowed man in an allotted period of time to live his own way. And that's how mankind wanted. He's chosen that way. to try to do everything on his own without the help of God. He's rejected God. But he's quick to call on him when he needs him, or to blame him when things are not the way they should be or the way he wants them when trouble comes. But God's plan is on schedule, and it will soon be carried out to the next phase. He's working now on a time frame. He always works on a time frame, and he's working now to prepare for that next phase of his plan by calling and preparing a group of people that when he begins that next phase of his plan, that he'll use to teach and to rule under Christ as his world ruling government is brought to this earth. The day of Pentecost was called the Feast of First Fruits. We see by the sheaf of first wave offering there in Leviticus 23. And we all know that it pictures the church as the first begotten and born again as children of God. The spring harvest, which is the Feast of Pentecost represents tomorrow. The spring harvest is the first and the smaller harvest. And we know that there will be a much larger harvest later on, pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles, or the fall harvest. And God will give all people the opportunity for salvation at that time. But he has a time order that he's working with. And we have been called at this time. We have a great future ahead for us. And as we have an awesome opportunity. But he's called us for a specific purpose. And we must be called. We didn't jump in here and come on our own. We were called to hear God's plan. John 6:44, you don't have to turn there. It's just a quick verse. He says that you must be called. But those called during this age are receiving training, spiritual training, to do a job in the coming kingdom. We're in class today, and we will be tomorrow, to learn God's ways, so that when his kingdom is brought to this earth, we'll be able to take up where he tells us to and start helping him convert the multitudes of humanity during that time. The vast humanity now and in the past that have died and will be resurrected. And on into the millennium and all those that will be in the second resurrection. But today the world is blind to God's plan. They're lost. They don't know which way they're going, and they don't want to go in the way God wants us to go. But he's called out a few specific people to train them, to prepare them for that job, to convert these people when the time comes. But we have been called at a time when Satan is the god of this world. And just as Jesus Christ had to qualify to take his position as Lord of Lords and King of Kings and to dethrone Satan, we also must qualify and win a battle with Satan, with the world and its ways, to overcome our own weaknesses, our own temptations, and our own human nature. So we must qualify, as Christ did, to be in that kingdom and to do the job that He's called us to do. And we begin by repenting of breaking God's laws, which we've all done and do. But we have to be led to repentance. We are led to repentance. Even that is not something that we do on our own. We're led to repentance. As Romans 2:4 tells us, by the goodness of God, we're led to repentance. After Jesus was resurrected, He told the disciples that they would receive power. You look at Acts 1. They were assembled together in the disciple with the disciples there, and He Jesus told the disciples that John baptized with water, but that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And He's down in verse 8, that was in verse 5, down in verse 8 He says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you." So they were going to receive power. Given the power to overcome. And after that, and shortly after that, Jesus ascended. Down verse 9, "And when He had spoken these things, He ascended. Over in chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. When the Holy Spirit was sent to them, and they saw it in the miracles that were performed. The sound of the roaring wind, where they were, it came upon them suddenly. That was the power of the Holy Spirit. The fire that landed on their heads, on all the disciples' heads, that didn't even burn them. That was the power of the Holy Spirit. The languages that they all spoke, that each one understood in his own language. That was the power of the Holy Spirit. Another example of power was Peter. Over in verse 14, when Peter got up to give his sermon, you know, just a few days or weeks before that, he ran in fear and hid and denied even knowing Christ 3 times, as Christ told him that he would do, because he was in fear of his own life. But in verse 14 of Acts 1, or Acts 2, excuse me, Acts 2, he says, he overcame fear. I think it's verse 22, Acts 2, verse 22. Skipping down to that part, he gives this sermon, and he comes and verse 22, and he says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." He was a changed man after the Holy Spirit came on him. He wasn't in fear anymore. And he spoke to these Jews with authority and with conviction. And they were pricked to the hearts. And in verse 37, they said, "Well, what shall we do?" And in the next verse, in verse 38, he says, "Repent and be baptized." Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another example of the power of the Holy Spirit is in John, the first chapter, verse 12. And I'm sure everyone's familiar with this verse. It's quoted by a lot of the evangelists around the world. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The power to become the sons of God. That's awesome power, friends. We're not in this battle alone with all these problems and with Satan and our own weaknesses and human nature. He said over in John 14, verse 16, I will not leave you comfortless. The revised version of this says, I will not leave you as orphans, which means alone and on your own. But I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, in verse, jumping back up to verse 6 first, he said, and I will pray that the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So he wasn't going to leave his disciples alone. And he's not leaving us alone. He sent the things that we need to make it through this battle that we're in. God's wisdom is revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2:10. We'll start in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Skipping down to 10, verse 10, it says, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So we receive knowledge and wisdom, of the wisdom of God through His Holy Spirit. Second Timothy verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All these are gifts from God to help us in these days of trouble. Ephesians 5. Verse 14, he says, wherefore, he says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, and are they ever. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Eternal is. You know, God's kingdom will soon be here. He said so. He has a plan, and it will be done. If you turn over to Isaiah 46, there's a profound, some profound words there, I believe, about God's claims. Isaiah 46, starting in verse 9. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Skipping over to, that next verse. It says, "Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. Bring near my righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory." Those are profound words, I think. And anybody that thinks that God is non-existent will regret that he thinks that one of these days, I'm afraid. This is our time, brethren. 1 Peter 4 is the last scripture. This is our time. Verse 17. "For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God." That's where we are, friends. "And if it first begins at us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing and as unto a faithful Creator." It's getting late. We see what's going on around us. The world is going to collapse around us if we're not careful, sooner than a lot of us realize. So let's use the time well.